Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Maron to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Maron at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Good morning, Joan. I understand we've got a little treat in store for our listeners today.
We absolutely have. We're going to share with you today an episode that we recorded on a rather lovely evening we spent with Alan Buxton, who has his own podcast as well.
Yes, apparently he does, which is reasonably popular, I understand. And we recorded it, of course, Joan, didn't we, at the wonderful ENO, English National Opera. For those of you that don't know, the Colosseum's wonderful, wonderful building, very beautiful. And of course, you won't be able to see that. In this episode
you're about to hear, but you can, if you go onto the Fane website and purchase yourself a wee ticket, you can see us visually in the flesh in all our glory. You should probably do both, is what I would say.
Yes, I mean, obviously some of you are going to be perhaps, I don't want to use the word stingy, but perhaps a bit tight with your purse strings.
A lot of people are using lockdown as an excuse for that, when actually they're sitting around doing nothing. So I don't know
I've had texts from a number of people who've said, I'm not doing Christmas presents this year. I'm not sending any gifts. Or I think, well, why on earth not? There's absolutely no excuse. They're just
I mean, I know you do. You never send gifts.
I don't send them, Joe, no. I can't. It's against my principles.
You don't want to be seen as one of those sort of nitpicky types who sort of poring over a bill after dinner going, well, I didn't have that and I didn't have that.
No, it's very tedious. I mean, you know, I mean, all right. Yes, one does have to go through it and make sure that you haven't paid for too many bottles of vino and
But you do it so nicely with your calculator and everything. You don't, you know, it's quite subtle. You'll hide that behind the menu and then just...
So I'm very, very good at maths, as you know, Joan. So actually, I do it all mentally and then I just double check it on the calculator. And it's very straightforward. And it's a fun part of the evening, actually. And, you know, occasionally people say, I disagree. I had I didn't have a cheesecake. And then I'm able to say to them, yes, you did. You're just too drunk to remember it. And it's a bit of fun.
Absolutely.
But no, I mean, I would say to listeners, if you can and would like to see us in all our wonderful glory and delights and this young Alan fellow, do pop onto the Fane website, buy yourself a ticket. But if you just want to stick to oral, that's your choice. But if you'd like to see us in the flesh,
you want the full intercourse, then do go and buy that ticket. And,
indeed, we look forward to you making the right choices. But we hope you enjoy, don't we, Joan? We hope
always.
You enjoy.
Hello, welcome to this Fane event, A Night In with Joan and Jerrica. I'm your host. My name's Adam Buxton. I have a podcast. It's called the Adam Buxton Podcast. But in their popular podcast, Dear Joan and Jerrica, Joan Damery and Jerrica Domain offer frank and forthright advice and opinion on a wide variety of romantic and sexual queries from their listeners, who, in the words of J&J themselves, tend to be, quotes, large, lonely, rather whiffy spinsters of a certain age, dumpy, dowdy, often balding, but still desperate to find Mr. Right. Mm. So that's quite good for me as a married man in his early 50s.
Found Mr. Right.
I found Mrs. Right. And I have to say, over the years, the podcast has provided me with many fascinating insights.
Oh, yes, it would have done. Yes.
Absolutely. Not only into human sexuality, but I think into the mind of the modern woman.
Yes, absolutely. I was just going to say, Alan, is that what you're wearing for the final...
Adam, yes, Yeah, I live in the countryside, so right. I'm fairly kind of...
Limited. Farmer, sort of.
Yeah, sort of rough and ready.
Yes, right. Lovely.
Usually okay. It's a fleece. I thought I would dress up today.
No, I love this. That army sort yeah. of sexy khaki look.
Exactly.
We did put in the memo a jumbo cord, but you didn't get the memo.
Oh, no, I didn't see that, sorry.
Okay, you could always pop some on in the
A cord
Greek.
On the trouser or...?
A jumbo cord trouser was the yes. preference, the stated preference.
Okay.
But if you don't own any... Perhaps you don't.
No, I don't know. It's all sort of jeans and slacks at this age. Honestly, though, as far as attire goes, I'm surprised to see in real life that you're as glamorous as you are, if you don't mind me saying.
Bless
you look great.
You.
Well, but are you implying that perhaps you thought we were less glamorous listening to us?
I suppose when I'm listening to the podcast, I'm imagining a couple of sort of cozy housewife types.
Well, right. Housewives.
Chatting to each other. Yes. And,
I don't know about cozy.
No.
I think of myself as something of a sex pot, really.
Sure. So, well, you look fantastic.
Thank you very much. No, that's absolutely wonderful. I think it's ridiculous nowadays. Poor men are not allowed to say anything, are they?
No.
Right.
To the ladies, and not even a pat on the bottom. It's madness. But no, thank you very much. It's very nice to have a gentleman such as yourself to flatter us.
It's lovely sitting with a guy. Yes. And I love your beard. It's kind of like badgery.
Yes, touch of a badger really nice. Or a sort of, I don't know, marmoset or a mole almost. But anyway, sorry, we digress.
Nope.
Just want to say...
Are you bald under the cap?
Not completely, no, but it is thinning.
I wouldn't worry. I mean, the ladies love a shiny pate.
Oh, yes. It means lots of testosterone.
So I wouldn't worry at all. Let it all hang out.
Absolutely.
Now, look, we're here because after the success of the podcast, congratulations,
thank
by
you.
The way.
Because we asked for Jeremy Paxman, but he wasn't well.
Sure. He's very busy, isn't he? And I don't know.
You asked for Louis Theroux as well. But
yes. Louis was a bit teary about the whole thing. He just couldn't face it.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, I'm very flattered and excited to be here.
Well, we're delighted.
We are absolutely thrilled.
And as you say, we're here in this, if I might just point out, this wonderful, almost my second home, Adam. This wonderful English National Opera house. I have a box, that's my box up there.
Oh, Jerrica's box.
Jerrica's box, when my husband's with me.
A little rummage around there.
Yes, indeed. Oh. Philip's box, we call it, actually. Yes. He's away a lot, as you know.
Philip, your husband?
Yes. Indeed.
Yeah. He spends his time in Thailand with his troop of scouts. So
he's a wonderfully charitable man. And
I based one of my bedrooms on this, so I like to have... an audience sometimes.
Yes, of course you do, Jack.
Yeah, I imagine a kind of big four-poster bed, a lot of red velvet curtains.
Yes, it's actually a circular bed with lots of poles around it and chains and hooks and swings and all sorts.
So, wow, that's great.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Yes.
So the book.
Yes.
This is very exciting.
The book.
After the success of the podcast, you've turned your talents to writing.
Oh, thank you. Bless you.
And you have produced... a great book. This is
here we are.
It's filled
here we are. Where are we?
Helpful advice and information and recipes.
There it is. Yes.
It's called Why He Turns Away. And this is a, if you don't mind me saying, very refreshingly honest take.
Thank you.
On intimacy for ordinary people.
Absolutely, for the very ordinary, yes.
And it is enhanced by beautiful illustrations throughout. Putting me in mind of other classics of the genre, The Joy of Sex, by Dr. Alex Comfort.
Indeed.
And,
I love Dr. Comfort.
Or Small Comfort, as he's known. He's a very, very short man.
With quite a small penis.
Yes.
You guys have found quite a wide audience in the podcast world because I think you are sometimes quite jaw-droppingly frank.
Yes, I mean, we don't beat about the bush. Apparently, you're not allowed to say that anymore either.
No,
but
we all love a beat about the bush.
Who doesn't, Joan? Absolutely, very nice. First thing in the morning.
Yes.
But no, you're not allowed to say that.
And that's
now.
Something we do advise husbands to do first thing in the morning.
To beat around.
Yes.
Beat about the bush.
Although we do focus, obviously, more on what ladies are doing to keep their guys, because that's what the book's about. Take you right through from dating up till death. It takes you through everything from getting together, flirting, getting married, babies, the menopause.
Yes.
Mental health issues,
And, and then in your old age, either enjoying a wonderful, very fruitful sex life or going into a care home. Mm.
Well, here's a question about the title from one of our viewers tonight, because when people bought tickets for this event, some of them also submitted questions.
I'll be reading
a handful of those. Apologies to people who don't have their questions read. Here's one from Henry Bland,
probably weren't
though.
Good enough.
And he just says, how did you come up with the book title, Why He Turns Away? What is meant by that?
Why he turns away. Look, you know, ladies don't know how to look after themselves these days, and too many men are very understandably racing off and getting together with the au pair or, perhaps a young lady who comes to babysit who's just turned 16 and knows how to dress, knows how to put a bit of makeup on, and quite understandably, isn't he?
Joan. He's turning away from his wife. He's all the ways in which wives can repulse our husbands, really.
And goodness me, there are very many.
Oh, myriad ways.
Yes, myriad.
Marriage is generally getting less popular. I think the statistic is 50% of marriages fail.
Right, yes. Oh, dear.
And that number is climbing all the time.
Yes.
More and more, it seems like a weird thing to do, to say to another person that you're going to be with them for the rest of your life.
It's very difficult,
you
isn't it?
Couldn't agree more.
And I don't think you should see it as failure. I've been married 6 times, and every one was a success, even the 3 with suicides.
It's simply not your fault, Joan, that these grim fellas have decided to, perhaps top themselves. Mm. You know, not it's not Joan's fault.
No.
You're both mothers, is that right?
Yes.
How old are your children now, Joan?
Well, I have 5 sons.
Okay.
One of them's gay. Age-wise, do you know, I sometimes forget.
Yeah.
They're all off being so successful. They were all sent off to boarding school when they were 3 years old, and I gave them a fantastic education and lots of gifts and so forth, and they're all doing very well for themselves.
One of them actually went, the last one went when he was a tiny baby, didn't he?
He did, because there's a new one came out where you could send them at 2 months old.
It's wonderful.
Wonderful, run by all these old monks who are a bit lonely. And,
I mean, you get the odd rum monk there, but, it's a price you just pay for this wonderful.
It's worth it.
And so wonderful that women can express themselves through giving birth and bringing up children and, as in Joan's case, sending them to boarding school. I mean, I actually packed Cardinal, my daughter, off to boarding school. I think she was 13. She was absolutely wild by that point and had started eating the furniture.
She was always wild.
Yes, I mean, she was wild, but it was when she sort of chomped up the whole sofa, that wonderful white. It was a sort of one of those L-shaped ones.
Oh, I remember that one from Next, wasn't it?
It was Next Home, and it had
like
a wonderful flip-up section you could relax on a Sunday night. I came in and she was just finishing off the last sort of leg. And
She'd urinate up the walls and all sorts. And you sent her away to that sort of chap in Sweden, was it?
Like yes.
Running with the Wolves type thing to try and break that feral part of her down, wasn't it?
Kevin Costner.
It was a friend of Kevin's. Friend.
Don't see so much of him, do you?
No, not so much now, but
lovely, twinkly blue eyes.
Yes. He's a good-looking older man.
Isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's set me a silver fox.
It's
wonderful.
A shame, though, that that paradigm of the attractive older man still maintains, whereas it's still tough for an older woman to be as glamorous as you two, perhaps.
Yes, well, I mean, we're the exception to the rule, really.
Well, I think, it's about making the effort and putting the hours in, isn't it? And all these, you see these bumpy ladies bulking around Marx's and, they haven't got any makeup, they haven't bothered with any lipstick, and haven't brushed their hair even.
Or their teeth, these haggard old trouts, and no underguys.
No
just
bra.
No bra and the boobs down coming out under their belts,
I don't mind the no bra look.
Even though when their boobs are very long and...
If they're coming out from the clothes, that's bad. Here's the bit that caught my eye about teenagers in the book.
Mm.
Do you mind me reading a couple of
books? Absolutely.
Wonderful. It'd be nice to hear it again.
Yes, lovely.
You write very evocatively about the experience of dealing with teenagers in the holidays.
Yes.
Under the subheading Stinky Oafs. And you say, but there are always the holidays when we do have to tolerate these stinky oafs lounging about the place. And stinky goes for both sexes here at this age. As always, an oniony boy... As always, an oniony boy masturbating until his sheets snap is still more tolerable than a fishy teenage girl with all day morning breath and a jutting lower lip. Sorry. The hooded eyes and hunched huffing of a lolling lass in the grip of puberty can be hugely taxing for mad menopausal mums and must be shut down by either locking this moody miss in her bedroom or cellar, or sedating her entirely during her period. So a lot of this stuff is, I would say, not typical of most advice that's around for dealing with teenagers or sexuality.
I think
in
people
general.
Pussyfoot around this
they
stuff.
They certainly do. Absolutely. I mean, the point is, you know, both of us, of course, as we've just said, have got a vast experience with bringing up children. And, you know, they say, write what you know, don't they? And indeed, this is what we've penned as a result. This is something that's worked incredibly well for the two of us, I think.
Yes.
Joan, you'd agree. Mm. And yes, all right. People say it's old fashioned and it's, you know, it's not how people do things nowadays. But we don't care, do we, Joan?
No. We're not fashionable women, really.
Apart from the clothing, obviously.
Yes.
But we're not fashionably minded.
You mentioned your gay son earlier on.
Mm.
Some of the ideas in the book took me by surprise.
Right. On the gay section or? Well, in what way?
Well, I wasn't aware that this was a thing, for example. This is under a heading that says the hungry anus. You say, through placing objects near the newborn's anus, much as you might put metal near a magnet, scientists have noted the gay baby's anus already knows it wants to ingest something.
Mm. Yes.
As toys and biscuits within a 10-inch radius go shooting up his bottom. This is a condition known as the hungry anus, or anum esurientes.
Yes, or
that's a Latin term.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Causing the rectal mouth to suck up almost anything in its path. Consequently, there have been cases of lazy mums using their child's bottom as a makeshift hoover.
Mm.
While he...
Or vacuum cleaner, rather.
Right.
Not Hoover, obviously, that's a make of vacuum.
Yes.
Unless you've called the child Hoover, in which case, that's valid.
Yes,
sure.
That's a lovely name.
Sure.
Pretty name.
So this is all, I mean, this is all news to me.
I'm so glad. Mm. It's great to know we're educating people and helping people and guiding them.
Here's a question from Fiona Yallop. And Fiona, this is a common complaint. Dear Joan and Jerrica, whereas once me and my husband would have filled our idle time by making love, now he is more likely to be found checking his email or looking at memes on his phone.
Mm.
How do people deal with the new competition they have from
His phone's obviously a lot more attractive than she is.
I mean, don't forget, he'll have a ready access to pornographic material on his telephone. Mm. He'll be contacting mistresses and in chat rooms and so on and so forth.
He may even use the phone as a sexual device for himself.
Indeed.
Up his bottom or his front bottom.
Mm. Or just...
Front bottom?
Yes, nudging around his front bottom when it's warm.
For a man, where is that?
Oh, just down the front of the trousers and down round the testicles. Mm. And
I didn't know that was called the front bottom for a man.
It can be. It can be the penis or the willy or any number of...
Okay, because it's like a small bum.
Frontal tail,
Jack the Lad. Any number.
Jolly Roger.
Yes, absolutely. Frightened Ferret. Furtive Tom. Furtive Tom.
Hungry Peter.
Angry Simon.
Mm.
Any number of names.
All right, Jerrica.
Yeah, sorry, I've got a cough. I don't think it's a COVID cough.
No.
Before anyone panics and rushes
to
put their masks on. But where were we?
Yeah, the phone.
Indeed, the phone.
Competition from devices.
Yes. Mm. So really, once again, I'm afraid, and, you know, people say we've had death threats, haven't we, Joan?
We have.
You know, people say don't always blame the women, but goodness me, you know, the ladies need to up their game. So, you know, you want to be wearing a low-cut top.
Or as Jerrica just did there, splitting her trousers there.
I casually moved that aside. That's the sort of thing you need to be doing if a man's on his phone.
Gives him access to go crawling up your leg and...
And some ladies have a zip that will just simply whoosh up there and the whole trouser suit will fall apart.
Yes, lovely.
you know, it's tricks like this, tips and wrinkles like this that we provide, hopefully, in this book that we've written, that you may have.
This book, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yes.
He turns away.
Yes.
Why he turns away.
Why he turns away. Yes. Why he turns away.
Yes, sadly.
So are you finding that in your marriage, Alan, that you're fiddling with your phone and your wife's getting a bit peed off?
Actually, it's usually the other way around.
Oh, she's fiddling with her phone, is she?
Sometimes.
Right.
Have you checked what sort of sites she's looking at?
Cats. No, it's dogs mainly. It's sweet dogs. Is that a good... Is that
There's a section in the book.
A lady marrying her dog.
A lady saying, can I marry my dog?
So you might want to watch out there. She's
what did you say to that lady?
Well, I think we said...
That's a no, isn't it?
The point was it has to be that the dog has to ask.
Yes.
The dog wasn't interested in her, but he was interested in a sexier lady down the road.
Yes,
so.
Who ran a clothing shop, much younger, trimmer lady. So I think, you know, in the end, it was very clear that the dog wasn't interested in this lady at all. Mm. So it wasn't a case of her having an option of marrying the dog. The dog had already made a decision, had packed a little bag with all its needfuls, medication that it was on at the time, and
she'd
a bowl
said
of water.
It had needed Viagra, hadn't she? But turns out he didn't need it at all when he was with Belinda down the road.
So. Just a bit of fish oil, and it was up and ready, you know. Mm-hmm. But there we are.
Mm. So there you go. That's phones and devices dealt with. Hey, here's something, though. You were mentioning some of the names that can be used for a man's equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a letter from Maeve O'Shaughnessy. Mm. Dear Jonah Jerica, I have two daughters, and I find it difficult to know how best to refer to their downstairs areas.
Right.
At first, I used the words tuppence, foo-foo, and nonny, as my mother used to when I was little.
Mm.
But the girls have told me they find those names embarrassing.
Mm.
Could you suggest some appropriate alternatives?
Well, I mean, obviously you can go for the very biological vagina and vulva.
Pudenda is another go-to.
Growler.
But maybe not for like a young child, though.
It's quite a cozy name.
Yeah.
And they
like
grow
a
up.
Dog. You know, you had Bouncer and Neighbours, didn't you? It's not dissimilar.
That's another word you can use instead.
Bouncer.
Bouncer and indeed Neighbours. But
do you need to wash your Bouncer?
Yes.
That type of thing.
That could be fun.
Funnily enough, I was looking up the Urban Dictionary earlier, and there were other ones like Stench Drench or something Whisker. Whisker Biscuit.
I haven't heard that.
Quite nice though, all these, aren't they?
Sure.
Yes, they're pretty, aren't they?
Very pretty.
Fish purse, as you say, Joan. Treacle pudding is another one that my mother used to use.
Treacle pudding, lovely.
Jam roly-poly, if you were particularly, if you were menstruating. Obviously, these are very young ladies, but, you know, they do start very early. If you reach a certain weight, then you start to menstruate. So sometimes you get babies who've grown very big in the womb and perhaps start menstruating at the age of 7.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
We do talk about little wee ones with boobs and so forth as well in the book, because that's a phenomenon.
Yeah. I mean, there's a load of medical insight that I didn't know.
I think we say the unsayable. It's about bringing it out into the open and stopping people being ashamed of having a baby with boobs or, you know, a 5-year-old boy with a big bush of pubes. It's about...
Yes, it's just about saying it how it is, isn't it?
Do you get medical input from... I know that you both see a medical practitioner called Mahmoud.
Mahmoud, yes. He gives so much help.
How did your relationship with him begin, like your professional relationship?
I think we met him horse riding.
Yes, Joan, you were out on your mare. Joan's got 17 horses up in Scotland.
Yes.
And you were out on the moor.
It was quite romantic, actually, and I fell off, and this gorgeous, gorgeous guy came over and scooped me up into his arms and laid me atop his big brown stallion, and off we rode into the sunset, really. And then I found out he was a doctor, and we started hanging out. And another chap we mentioned in the book, we'd not mentioned so much before, of course, is your friend Dr. Graham Nutt.
Indeed, yes, who's a colleague of Mahmoud. So I met Mahmoud through Joan, obviously. We did a Skype. I had a crisis, a vaginal vestibule crisis, which I needed.
It's very long.
it's exceptionally long and I needed some instant treatment. And Mahmoud, fortunately, was on hand to guide me through a particular process. And
what, if you don't mind me asking, what do you do for that?
Well, the main thing you have to do is have intercourse very, very quickly.
It's 22 inches long.
And it starts to reduce the seal up. So he provided me with the name of some wonderful lengthy lads, as he calls them. And so I got a couple of those rounds purely for medicinal purposes.
Yeah. Now, this is a letter from Dan Jasper. Dan says, I've often heard women complaining that men always expect oral sex, but seldom, if ever, return the favour. Well, I attempted to do so and have done on a regular basis, but my wife just pushes me away. She calls the idea insane and unsanitary. What should I do, says Dan.
Do you have a picture of this lady?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Oh. No. All right. No, that's a no,
yes,
really, isn't it?
That is insane and unsanitary, I think.
Yes, I think...
In that case.
Amazingly, she's right here. And goodness, what a brave man. That's an angry...
A saint.
Yes, that's an angry orifice to approach, isn't it? And there's... I mean, just looking there, you can see there are some little teeth down in the bottom corner. This is a phenomenon that occasionally happens, particularly with a lady getting into older age. As the testosterone in the body rises, the progesterone, the estrogen shrinks away. And you'll get these little tiny, a bit like in a cyst, sometimes you get hair
tiny
and teeth.
Likewise,
you'll get these little vaginal teeth that appear.
It's part of the menopause, really.
Yes, it's a natural.
Again, not spoken about.
No, okay. Nobody knows about that, really.
Yeah, because I've heard of vagina dentata.
That's it.
Exactly.
But I thought that was like a psychological condition. I didn't realise they're actual teeth.
Yes.
Well, it starts in the mind and then it ends up down below.
Okay.
You can almost form it yourself. I mean, this is the tragedy here, is that the women believe, you know, that they that they are, as they age, becoming less attractive, and lo and behold, there it is, it happens.
But she will need to brush those teeth.
And floss, actually. Although she may get some flossing from that thong.
Yes.
There's a lot of tips in the book, which are great. And as I said, you know, I'm in my 50s now, married for 25 years.
Oh, lovely.
Good for you.
I consider myself very lucky and very close to my wife still. But
oh, she's a very lucky lady.
Yes, very lucky.
Thank you very much. But it's always good to have a few tips to keep things spicy, I guess,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes,
well,
absolutely.
And especially if, as you said earlier, she keeps looking at a telephone and looking at dogs.
There you go. Exactly. Here is...
Is she suggesting you get a pet dog?
We've already got a dog.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
And does she spend a lot of time with the dog?
Sure, we all do. She's a lovely dog.
Does she spend private time with the dog?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think so.
No, okay, not to worry.
This is a great tip which I wasn't aware of before. You talk about hair in the book. All the things you can do with your hair as a woman. And this is stuff that I hadn't even thought of. And this is a tip for a woman keeping a relationship spicy. He will love you lacing your hair around his proud penis, giving him a tufty maypole to yank about and generally have some fun with. He'll also enjoy it if you pipe it up his anus. Simply fashion it into a plait and stuff it up there, using it like a fun, hairy dildo, and he'll be in heaven, with the added bonus of sweeping off old bits of impacted feces that may have lodged in his rectum. As we know, guys rarely wipe their bottoms.
I mean, that is something you would know, I would have thought.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's so full of...
The last bit, I mean, I don't mean necessarily all the other bits if your wife's not been servicing you in that way, but... you know, most guys we know don't wipe the bottoms.
No, because we're busy.
Yes.
Much too busy. Much too busy. Why would you bother spending time wiping your bottom when you can be earning money?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not, I mean...
Or you can get your wife to do it.
Sure. What about, I wish that we lived in a society like France sometimes with the bidets. Do either of you have bidets?
I do.
Joan has a gold bidet.
Yes, I love it.
I didn't even know what a bidet was for until I was in my 40s.
Really?
Yeah.
And have you bought one now? Or?
I want to. I'm saving up.
You should. They're so much fun. Mm. I sit on it every morning.
Well, yours is huge. You get in it, don't
yes,
you, Joan?
It's lovely.
Huge.
I thought it was a bath for dolls.
It can be that.
Right.
Once you've done, you know, you so you don't waste the water. You can, pop your dolly in there and give her a bath.
I've always wondered, though, is there a potential danger associated with them if the pressure's not right?
There can be. Mm. It can be very damaging if that shoots up too far, doesn't it?
Absolutely,
it can
yes.
come right up and almost out of the mouth.
Yes, and in some cases, absolutely does.
Yes.
Exactly that.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm interested, though, if you... Do you have dolls?
I've got... I do have. I've always been into sort of toys and dolls.
Right, yes.
Things like that.
And you bathe your dolls?
Less. But yeah, I mean, sometimes. I certainly used to. There used to be a long bathing routine for the Action Men.
Right. Oh, lovely.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's
yes.
really lovely.
Good. Wonderful. Mm. Wonderful. And you've kept them, have you, these Action Men?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Mm. Wonderful.
Speaking of dolls, do you ever have any thoughts on the kind of body fascism that you see in dolls for children, the body type that men and particularly women are expected to aspire to, being
sort of the big boobs and the
well,
little waist.
The very, very slim, long
lovely.
Legs. And
yes.
Super. I mean, we do actually write about this in the book that, in the 70s, they really knew how to design a doll with these wonderful big boobs and tiny, tiny little waists and then very wonderfully slightly curved, but not too, not bulky.
Not big saddlebags, no.
Nice, nothing like that. And a nice slim hip and then a tiny, just a little hint of a peachy little vulva between nestling between the legs. Mm. And I think, you know, that was wonderful, wasn't it, Joan? Because it was very clear to young girls playing with Dolly, this is how I need to look.
If
and
I want
a
husband.
Very straightforward. Yes, but nowadays, of course, these poor girls, they don't know where to turn. They've got no proper role model to look at, have they?
No, they're very confused.
It's very confusing.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Because I think now the idea is that women should feel less pressure. Well, everyone should feel less pressure about conforming to a certain body type.
No.
Do you not? You don't think?
No, I think that's a mistake.
I do. I think it's good to know what to aim for and to do what you can to get there. Mm. And if that's surgery, then so be it.
Or not eating.
Vomiting.
Sure, all the old...
All the old chestnuts.
Tips.
They do work.
Hey, speaking of surgery, would it be appropriate to ask you if you've ever had any of that kind of work done yourselves?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Mm. Yes.
You have?
All the time.
What sort of procedures?
Well, I've had my boobs done 100 times, haven't I? And I've had different nipples put on and different pleases and so forth. And yes, I like to, keep myself in trim. And
absolutely. And Joan's had a whole new vulva put in.
Yes, really?
Because mine was quite big before.
Joan had a sort of great barn of a vulva, which was fine in the 70s, but not so much now.
One thing you spoke about on your podcast actually was the idea of printing out pictures of very attractive vulvas onto fabric and then laying
Fronter pants.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
It's a great tip. I mean, you can do it with a Polaroid. If you've got a Polaroid camera, you can just staple it onto your underwear if you're in a hurry. Mm. But if not, you can take it down. These wonderful guys in these
They're
print
so
shops.
Hunky, the guys, as well, in those places.
They can't snappy do enough. Snaps. Yes, it can't do enough for you, you know.
You don't get embarrassed going and asking?
Well, we don't have to do it, but for ladies that do, it just means when you're on a date, you've got a wee skirt on and you're sitting there opening your legs, you know, he's going to get a glimpse and he's going to think, oh, I'd like a bit more of that, you know.
Mm. Here's a couple of questions from people interested in you guys and your relationships. Sarah Giddings says, what were your first impressions of each other? And what are your pet hates about each other?
Oh, I don't think we have any pet hates.
No,
do we?
I don't think we do. I don't think we'd know.
No.
I'd have to really struggle to think of anything,
yes,
to be honest.
No,
but,
no.
How we met was lovely.
Yes. Yes. I don't know if you're aware, Adam, I'm a great canal swimmer.
I didn't know.
Yes, I talk about it in the book. I thought, had you not been sent a copy?
Sure. No, I remember now.
Yes, you do. And I jump in the canal every morning in an orange tankini, and I wear my flippers, and I pound up and down, avoiding all the sort of floaters and bits and bobs. And yes, and one morning I swim with my mouth open. It's just a reflex. That's something that I do. And one morning, unfortunately, I swallowed a Super Plus tampon. And started to choke. Obviously, it swelled up immediately even further in my throat. It was already swollen in the water, and it started to fill up, and I started to struggle to breathe. Well, this lady...
I was jogging along the towpath at the time in my special heeled trainers, and I saw this poor lady flailing about with this white tail coming out of her mouth. I thought, has she got a mouse in there?
Swallowed a mouse.
And, yes. And then I began to realise that you needed saving, and I pulled it out.
Yes.
I had some wee barbecue tongs in my bag at the time because I love to barbecue and I never know when I'm going to want to do it. So
always prepared.
Yes.
But yeah, so she hauled this great sopping tampon out and flung it on the towpath. And I, you know, I must say, I immediately thought, what a very interesting lady, obviously a very striking, lovely looking lady, but a lady in a lot of pain.
Yes.
You know, I immediately saw that this was a troubled and very emotionally damaged lady. And, you know, we're both, as you know, Adam, healers. And I just felt I wanted to reach out and help this lovely lady. And then it turned out that she herself was trained in psychogenital counselling. So we immediately clicked. And we've never looked back.
No, we went for dinner and spent the evening together, and I stayed over, and the rest is history, really.
What is psychogenital counselling for people unfamiliar?
Well, it's the psychology of the genitals. It's the, you know, giving the genitals a personality and talking to them and responding to them, singing to them, interacting with them, and, you know, taking away the shame around that area of what is simply a part of your body.
And a wonderful part of your body. And you dress it directly in the room. So when you go for psychogenital counselling, you will say, hello, vulva, how are you?
Or if you have a pet name, perhaps you have a pet name for yours, I don't know.
Angry Simon, let's say. Hello, Angry Simon. How are you feeling today? That sort of thing.
Sure, chatting to it.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, there's amazing stuff in here that I didn't know about. The Bobobo. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes.
This is a chapter, by the way, called Why He Needs to Pork Other Ladies When You're Pregnant. This is an advert within the chapter. So this is an advert for something called the Bobobo, which is Bobbly Baby Bonnets. And it's when you come to breastfeed the baby. Breastfeeding isn't always straightforward. For some ladies, the milk isn't flowing freely from the nipple, but is spurting happily from the vulva.
Is that true?
Absolutely
true. I didn't know that.
Yes, well, you do now. So this phenomenon is on the rise due to bigger, fatter vulvas as women become increasingly greedy, snacking on fatty treats and lazing around all day. Whilst this is all rather unpleasant, it is vital that wherever the milk is coming from, baby knows he's welcome to latch on. So if you're one of these mums who are lactating from down below instead of up top, you may as well make feeding time fun with the Bobobo. These bobbly baby bonnets covered in wobbly and textured teats mean baby can suckle away whilst nudging his bumpy bonnet into mum's privates, making it a great experience for both of you. The Bobobo comes in smooth, knobbly and vibrating if mum wants an extra special time. And don't worry, the fast vibrating bonnet is good for helping strengthen baby's soft new skull and acts like mini electroshock therapy, warding off any possible depression that the baby might be feeling about the thought of spending his first 18 years with you.
Wow.
There we go. So that's something you can order online.
Okay. And you can do that through your website.
Indeed.
And there are adult bonnets, aren't there, like that?
Yes.
Should guys want to do that?
Absolutely.
How do you mean?
Well, should guys want to sort of go down there and wear a bonnet while they're down there?
And have a little sip of the milky...
You look like a hat man.
You are a hat man. He is a hat man. I mean, you could actually probably adapt that cap and pop some bobbles on the top and stop your wife looking at pictures of dogs.
Now, are you both believers in astrology?
Oh, absolutely.
Particularly Joan.
Yes, very much. So I'll always check what sign somebody is before I get involved.
And, yes.
Well, are there certain signs that you won't get involved with, for example?
I find Aries can be quite tricksy.
What are you, Adam?
I'm a Gemini.
Mm, now you've actually the flighty twins.
The flighty twins, and you have some love horoscopes in here.
Mm. So you need to check whether your wife is matched to you, because it will tell you in there whether she is or not.
I don't know anything about all that stuff.
Right.
What's so? She is early March. What does that make her?
That makes her Pisces.
Okay.
Yes. Fish.
Yes.
Well, my entry. Oh yeah, here we go. Pisces, long, lank ladies. Make no mistake. My wife is tall.
Mm-hmm.
These women do smell. The face tends to look quite morose with droopy, cloudy eyes and wet, floppy lips. These are slippery customers, always changing her tune and turning up late for appointments. This is not like my wife.
Right. Well, you did say it was at the beginning, so...
At the beginning it was, and now it's not.
Well, not yet. I mean, she may become a lot of these things. Mm. People tend to...
It's 100% accurate.
Is it?
It's absolutely, yes. Watertight.
More often than not, this woman will be a dental assistant. That's very specific. Who likes to watch reality TV and is most likely fellating her boss. I don't think this is true.
Well, not yet, again.
You said she looks at her phone all the time. You don't know what else she's doing.
Has she shown an interest in dentistry?
I mean, yeah, she does talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Does she look at your teeth quite a bit?
Now and then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm, there you go.
Okay. The hunky 60-something dentist who just got back from skiing and has a cheeky facelift. Oh, that's a description of the boss that she's fellating.
Mm-hmm.
She loves to slither about the place, flirting with every Tom, Dick and Harry. So don't invite her over for dinner if you want to hold on to hubby.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I don't... Mm. My entry, Gemini. The flighty twins. These guys tend to be light, wiry and super flirty. Think Michael Douglas in his heyday. You both fans of Michael Douglas?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Gorgeous. Huge Michael Douglas fans.
Who is in Fatal Attraction, Wall Street.
Wonderful. But even now,
now, gorgeous.
Even more so now, really.
Yes.
He was like a byword for sexy, steamy
absolutely
guy parts.
Yeah. Still is. 90s. Yes. Still is, really, isn't he? You know, he's aged very well.
Lovely.
Did you like him in... What was the one where he was at the disco with a... V-neck sweater and
Saturday Night Fever?
No.
I believe he was in that briefly.
I think he was, yes. He was one of the backing dancers when John Travolta was doing the big routine at the front. He went down on his knees and slid across the floor behind John.
Yes.
I think they cut most of his part out, didn't they? Because he was drawing the eye.
Mm. He's so charismatic, isn't he? Mm.
Michael Douglas.
Yes.
Yes. Well, and John, of course.
The description of a typical Gemini continues, twinkly hot eyes... A chunky penis and thin, high hair. So, yeah.
Pretty much you.
Sounds like you.
And boy, do these go... And boy, do these guys know how to dress. Sexy linen suits, sockless loafers, and no underwear, ever. You will have to put up with some nasty dark moods from the evil twin. That's true. Sulky huffs, guilty. And toxic body puffs. If you look at him the wrong way.
Mm.
But make him a fishy soup with a glass of champers and he'll be back to normal. The nice twin is clown funny and an acrobat between the sheets, which is why he just can't be faithful. So...
Sounds like you.
Well, there's some accurate stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Now, what is your sign?
I'm a Sagittarius.
Are you? And how about you, Jerica?
I'm a Leo.
Ah. The lumpy lioness is what you call them
indeed.
Here. These ladies are big, spoilt show-offs, wide, dimply, and prone to hefty periods and pebbly stools.
Yes.
The Leo lass loves to lollop and expects you to bring her snacks and treats while she lounges in front of the TV.
Mm.
Mostly unemployed, these women fly into rages if provoked, so any man willing to take one on has his work cut out.
Mm.
Wow, is that accurate?
Absolutely spot on.
Wow.
Particularly the pebbly stools and the heavy periods.
Mm.
What is the pebbly stool thing?
Oh, Adam, I'm afraid it's something I've had this ghastly. Joan knows all about
ongoing
this. And
IBS, really.
Absolutely. It's this IBS, nuisancey IBS that I have. And it means that I have a very uncomfortable tum a lot of the time and produce these very tiny owl-like pebbly stools once every so often. Mm. I mean, of course, it can go the other way. So the lioness will also sometimes leave a very sticky, long trail of lion juice, for want of a better description. So it can go either way, and a lot of anal puffing and a lot of stench.
Whereas I only go once every, it used to be once every 2 weeks, and now it's once every 2 months.
Yeah, so sometimes once a year. Joan, I mean, it's been occasionally just on your birthday, hasn't it? She's had a bit of cake and there's a sort of snapping noise.
Yes.
And Joan's hurtled out of the room and come back looking very shocked.
Mm.
But there we go. You know, we live with these things.
Sure. I'm sorry, that must be uncomfortable.
It's great, actually. It just means I can do what I want. I can go on romantic weekends and just not have to worry.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you want to read Jones?
Which one were you again?
I'm Sagittarius.
Oh, yeah. It was just that Aries caught my eye.
Oh, yes.
The rampant ram.
Yes. Do you know any Aries?
I know a few.
Mm.
Michael Douglas is an Aries, apparently.
Yes.
Right.
Do you want to read it?
Yeah, well, it says, these are guys that want to fuck. They like strong-toned women with big boobs and tight bubble butts. Although, we'll take on a Leo lass for a lost weekend. But please, no tears, ladies. These lads will not tolerate a weepy lass. They like ballsy, buxom girls who will tell it like it is and smack them round the face when they're out of line. That isn't good, is it?
That's gorgeous.
Oh. Slapping, kicking, punching, strangling. These are like catnip to the Aries man. I don't know if that's always true, is it?
Yes. Think Michael Douglas.
Certainly in Michael's case. Mm. Yes, and the weekend referred to guilty.
Yes.
Naughty few, lioness and yes. Don't tell Catherine. Zeta Jones.
Oh, that's horrific. He loves rough foreplay and can often be found headbutting his partner while she sleeps. Naughty old ram.
Mm.
Now, remind me one more time, Joan. What was your sign?
Sagittarius.
Oh, yeah.
Are you on medication for this memory loss?
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Mm.
Mainly alcohol. Sagittarius. These guys have curly hair, smiley eyes, and cute button noses, which can be a turn-off as most ladies love big, angry hooters. Sag Man is the archer, so he's one of life's go-getters and tends to have a penis shaped like an arrow, which can be a lot of fun and suits the Libran lady's long vaginal vestibule, which is usually shaped like a Toblerone.
Mm. Yes.
I didn't know that about the Toblerone.
Yes, it's a very common condition. Toblerone vulva, Toblerone vagina. You know, there's also, isn't there, the topic, the topic vagina.
And sort of a bit more nutty,
yes,
and lumpy.
Yes, and the Mars, of course, famously.
Yes, Mick Jagger and the Mars.
Indeed, yes.
Wow. I mean, these are great.
I think they're just great to have something definite there that you can just look it up. You meet a new person or you're going to sleep with somebody and you go, hang on, let me check. Mm. What do I need to know?
Handy.
Is this a one-night stand? Is this a
long-term thing? You know. Yes.
Yeah. Now, both of you, not to bring things down, but you've both experienced some tragedy and sadness in your lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't shy away from it in the podcast. You talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard as well you talking about some of the actual practicalities of what you do with a person after they've died and dealing with them in the casket and that kind of thing. You talked about a condition which I wasn't aware of, where a man can ejaculate after he's died.
Mm-hmm.
like a sometimes you said a man can, that can happen to a man while he's being hanged?
That's absolute fact. Mm. Yes.
That's why hangings were so popular in the medieval times. Mm. Lots of people.
Pornography, really.
Almost like in Amsterdam now, they do these wonderful fun shows for guys on stag weekends. Mm. Similarly, in the Middle Ages, the ladies would gather around and watch a man dangling from a rope with a wonderful,
and
angry...
And ways to get pregnant, as
yes,
well.
Indeed, yes. And then they would take a little bucket and hold it underneath, and it would be a fun for the teenage girls, you know, just coming into puberty, would gather around with a little bucket and try and grab a bit of what came out, shooting out of this poor fella's member, and yes, and then take it home and pop it under the pillow.
And it's typical of the guys, isn't it, as well, to still be doing that, yes, right after.
Yes. Bless them.
Why are they popping it under the pillow?
Well, it was known as the sperm fairy.
Oh.
They believed that they could get pregnant. Some of them did. Mm. But often I think there was an uncle staying in the house or some such, and it was just a bit of fun.
Yeah.
And one of you, I think it was you, Joan, was talking about something that I've never heard of before, which is that sometimes when after the corpse has ejaculated, the ejaculate freezes in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
It was very cold.
Right.
That's often in an open casket, you know, where everyone's coming to view the body. Yes, and often in a cold place to keep the body, you know, in a nice condition.
Mm.
And then that can happen, and then it freezes in the air, often in a pretty arc shape.
Mm, like you see in the Arctic, you know, where you see a sort of stalactite, stalagmite, sort of spurt of frozen water.
Mm.
In this case, obviously, it's frozen spermatozoa.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And you were talking about incorporating that. If you have a closed casket, you can get the shape of the casket.
Yes, you changed. Can get a yes. special area to cover that.
Yes,
or
the donkey flap or donkey hatch. Mm-hmm. Which is particularly if a man has died with an erection, that often people are, you know, they don't want it pushed down and hidden away, shame, you know, oh dear. No, they'll just have an opening for the head. You can peep in and say goodbye, and then equally you'll have this donkey flap where you can open up and have a little peek, and it's fun, isn't it? It's a bit of fun. And cheers everyone.
It's about making the funeral a bit more fun.
Yes, and that will lead obviously to all sorts of shenanigans at the wake. Mm. And we write in the book about how actually a funeral is a wonderful place to meet a romantic partner.
Yes.
And pair up and pop off to the toilets with a glass of wine and a femidon.
And
a femidon.
What is that?
It's went out of fashion. We never knew why, did we, Joan?
No, we loved them, but it's like a condom for a woman that you put inside yourself. And
well, they went out of fashion. We've no idea why. They were great fun, wonderful sound effects, and
noisy,
it's essentially
crackly, rustly.
Yeah, it's like a plastic bag that you would just pop up yourself before you went out in the evenings, and
hoping you might get lucky.
Yes. Occasionally they'd fall out in a restaurant and you'd have to pick them up, scoot them into your handbag and nip the ladies and pop it back in, but give it a rinse. Mm. But fun times.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of gear that you refer to from time to time. Also in the book, you talk about the she-wee and the she-poo.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I'd heard of the she-wee.
Mm.
I think most people can imagine what that might be like, but how does the she-poo work?
Well, again, that's if you get caught short, you're driving or
on
something.
On a motorway.
Or you're out to dinner with a friend and you don't want to go to the lav. It's just a way of being able to just keep enjoying yourself, you know, like the old adverts for women on their periods where, you know, you want to play tennis or you want to bend over, whatever it is. It's
in your white shorts.
Equally, if you were having intercourse and you feel that sort of nudge down below, it's about being able to just have it strapped around your waist and just
be able to let go. And you know, if you're on a date and you don't say, "Excuse me, I need to go to defecate."
It's very unattractive, isn't it, to say that to a guy?
No, you don't want him.
You think that's yeah.
You don't want him to know.
I suppose you could. Yeah.
That goes on.
Is it more unattractive than wearing it? Bag for it?
It's pretty because it's a little pretty ribbon around the waist.
Oh, okay.
And it comes down the back and you can have floral or lacy. It's perfumed.
Yeah.
It's much like a wee tail, really.
Yeah, so, or a sort of lavender bag. You wear it outside the trousers. You don't disguise it. It's
It's about being proud, but making it a bit of a sexy,
you know. A bit of foreplay almost in the restaurant.
Lavender bag is, that would be nice.
It can be lavender, it can be anything. It could be blossom, spring onion, it was one you mentioned.
Yes, spring onion.
Different flavours.
Yes, all sorts of, pencil sharpenings. I mean, there's an old
Or range. The actual smell of feces, which you said a lot of guys love.
Yes, love that. Yes, just boost it up, put a bit of extra smell. Yes, big turn on. Mm.
Some guys do like the smell of their own farts.
Absolutely.
I think about all guys. Yes.
It's a big thing for guys, isn't it?
Yeah, what is that?
I think it's fun. Pride in what you've produced, isn't it? It's something you made. Here's one I made earlier, isn't it?
Mm. And it goes back to, you know, mum sort of congratulating the little boy when she changes his nappy. Well done, you've done a biggie. A big job.
Big one. Indeed.
And
he's jobby.
Proud as punch and delighted that mum's smiling down, leaning over him and making him feel just very, very strong and powerful.
Wow, it's funny. It's an interesting sensation being somewhere like this, having this kind of conversation, being very frank and, you know, about things that are common to all of us human beings.
Mm. To opera singers as well.
To opera singers as well, yeah, exactly. I wonder if it would be good to have some sort of opera that incorporated some of these themes a little bit more. Why does it always have to be very grand stories that are being told in opera?
I think sometimes we don't know what the stories are. I mean, the magic flute could well have some of those themes in it.
I don't know, Joan. I mean, I know it's a wonderful opera. I know that it's been performed here in this wonderful, wonderful building many, many times. But I know it's also what Philip calls his private parts.
Mm-hmm. The magic flute.
Yes. Mm. You know, Joan and I are very big believers in common humanity. And yes, all right, we're blessed and we are, I think it's safe to say, as special, very special ladies. Mm. But I think that we bring this humanity, this humility, this desire to heal, to help, to spread love. Mm. And
I think that's what the book's about. I hope that comes through, is the loving nature of what we're talking about.
Yes, and helping these poor lost lambs, even very old muttony ones, to scrabble through life.
That does come through.
Thank
it comes
you.
Through very, very strongly. Mm. Hey, thank you so much.
Oh, great pleasure.
You.
For talking to me today.
Honestly, Alan, it's been so fun.
It's been wonderful.
And congratulations, not only on the podcast, but on this book, which I think is going to change a lot of lives.
I think it will.
There's something amazing on every page. You can dip into it completely at random and your eyebrows will be raised by whatever you find. Yep.
We've got some photos in there as well, in case people can't read.
It would be great just before we go to show a couple of these illustrations, because for people of a certain age, they might remember The Joy of Sex and the beautiful illustrations in there by a man called Christopher Foss of this hippie couple with their luxuriant hair, bearded man.
Very handsome bearded man.
Not unlike myself.
Mm-hmm.
And his beautiful partner. Mm. And I certainly pored over those drawings.
Mm. Oh, was that before this morning, was it? Or
no, when I was little.
Right.
When I was younger.
Yes.
But wow, these drawings here, who's responsible for some of these illustrations?
We've got people from all across the world contributing.
There's the Bobabo. There's the baby with the Bobabo hat.
Mm. Mm. And those, all this sort of merchandise we sell, don't we?
We've got
all kinds of
yes, wonderful inventions that we've dreamed up and are now on the market.
Yes.
The peeny beanies to little hats to pop on the end of your penis. The Menahoove, which will sweep out any unwanted menstrual gubbins when you're out on a date. Mm.
The Menahoove.
The Menahoove, yes.
You don't have to have your period. You can have it all whipped out with a little, it's like a little Dyson Hoover for a lady. I can't see which one.
That's one that your wife might want to have a look at, Adam.
It's a woman with a dog.
Mm.
Mm. You know, these dogs can be very, very, if you just they're easily encouraged, aren't they, Joan? Mm. Some of these bigger dogs particularly, you just pop some dog food into your ear or, you know, wherever you want it, really.
Oh, yeah.
And the dog will have a good old sniffle around and a nibble and a lick and, again, just a bit of fun.
That's a massive dog.
Mm.
Our dog's smaller than that.
It doesn't really matter the size, does it?
No, you can lift it up, put it on a table.
Mm.
Or put it on your lap.
Well, Jerrica,
yes.
Joan,
yes.
It's such a pleasure to meet you.
You too. It's
wonderful.
Been so
I mean,
we
had no idea who you were, but it's wonderful that you've turned up. And you wanted cash, is that right?
That's fine. We'll work it out.
Yeah. But we'd love to go for a drink with you or have a slap-up dinner or something.
If you're free.
Sure, that would be great.
Wonderful. But you live in...
Just outside Norwich.
Yes, that's rather a... Have you been there, Joan?
I haven't been there.
No.
It's great.
All right.
We could Zoom, though.
Yes. Well,
either. I mean, or I'm happy to stay over and, see what happens.
That sounds great.
Lovely.
I might just...
Perhaps you better telephone your wife.
I'll telephone my wife.
She'll be on. She'll have the phone in her hand anyway, so may as well give her a call.
Exactly. Thanks very
much. Thank you.
God bless
you.
And thank you very much for joining myself, Joan and Jerrica, for this Fane event here at the wonderful London Coliseum.
Absolutely.
Take care. Bye.
God bless.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.